Welcome to Real Men Feel. I am your host, author, coach, and healer, Andy Grant. Real Men Feel exists to remind men that they're human. And as human beings, we all have emotions and a requirement for connection with others. My guest today is Alan Cantor. Alan is a spiritual guide, transformational coach, and founder of The Surround. He has a vision for a better world for all children and expresses that through his work with men. Alan stresses three core concepts for improving men's lives. They are connection, trust, and listening. Alan and I explore those areas and our resistance to them. Alan also warns about the three most terrible words you can say to a boy. Let's dive in. Hello, Alan. It's great to have you here on Real Men Feel.
Thanks, Andy. It's good to be with you.
So I discovered you because of your work with something called The Surround. Could you just tell us, like, what does The Surround mean? What is that?
So The Surround's a weekly men's group that meets. We met for a long time before COVID and mostly in my backyard in a teepee I have. And it came out of my thoughts and then proving that when men connect on a consistent basis where there's a deep listening present and a level of trust where men can really open up, that their lives get better. And my vision for the world is that it be a better place for all children. And I chose to work with men to fulfill that and found that if a man gets just a little bit better, the whole world is a better place. And that's what I strive to do each week with the men in the group.
Cool. So your vision about making a better place for children, is that because did you have an unpleasant childhood? Is that what kind of draws this out?
Yeah, I could say that and make a good case for it, for myself anyways. Part of what I do is to relieve men of those stories they make up about their past, so that there's more power and freedom in their lives today. So I could make that case, and I have all my life for myself, and I've freed myself from those stories, of the biggest one being my father dying when I was 8 years old and not really having the guidance of a older man in my life for a long time.
Yeah, we talk about that often, the father wound, which yes, comes from a physically absent father that you've lost to death or anything else, or an emotionally absent father, someone that's physically there but just is not right, open and available to you. So,
yeah. And the really where this comes from, I realized as I was doing it, was my father. I don't have a lot of memories of him, but I do remember that there were a lot of men around the house frequently, and he was a member of at least three fraternal organizations back in the 50s. I have his artifacts of pins and other things. So a man once asked me why I love the men so much, and I couldn't come up with an answer right away, but then the answer came to me, which is what I just said, that my father really gave me that gift of having men around that are willing to listen to the real answer when they ask, how are you?
Yeah, I talk about that a lot too. There was a teacher in positive psychology I had that stressed, when you really want to know the answer, like, how are you? Really? And right, giving that, like, no, this isn't the surface. I care about you. I wanted to know the actual answer.
Yes.
Cool. So do you find that prior generations, did men of the 50s actually have greater connection with other men than today?
I think so. I think, with all due respect to the women's movement, because I do think it was necessary, and I'm happy for the territory that was taken, and I wouldn't want to turn anything back, other than men and, well, fathers became parents, mothers became parents, rather than the two roles. There's a need for a father and a need for a mother. And I have to say, I'm totally in support of gay marriage of all kinds. And I don't want to be misinterpreted to when I say a mother and a father, that it has to be a male and a female. So I just think that men got, men and women, the intent was to get leveled off rather than for each of them to have their strengths. And I think that there was more of that back in the, you know, pre-1960, really, when the around the time the women's movement began.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding this. So it's almost like in a quest for equality, we took away our natural strengths?
Yes. Okay. That's a great way to say it. You know, yes. Cool. And like I say, I'm happy women have the gains they've made. And I want men to have that strength and have a platform to stand on.
So is what got you into men's work your own work of trying to improve better, make yourself a healthier individual?
Yes, I got in when there was a crisis in the marriage, actually, just about 20 years ago. I was invited to join a group of men. And I was in that group for about a year and a half before I took a deeper dive into it. And, you know, those men, when I really was in crisis, supported me greatly. They got me through it. And then I dove more into it. I did some trainings and joined a couple of other organizations that helped me formulate my foundation and get to see the importance of men connecting in this way.
And have you always had a strong sense of spirituality, or is that something that developed over time?
It's developed over time, and it's been for a long time. I know the entry point about 45 years ago, I did a training program, that transformational program that really got me on the path of human growth and development and got me interested. And I really, for at least the last 20 years, have really taken that on, of always growing and developing, finding new things to explore, new avenues for growth and pathways. And I'll be 70 in January, and I'm not done yet. I just started a new training program, and I'm, you know, so all I do is want to learn. I saw your meme today on Facebook with the pictures of two people with like flowers in their hair. And, you know, and it's, you know, one of them says, we're made to change. And, you know, yes, we are made to change, whether we like it or not, and usually not. But that's all there is to do. So.
Yeah, that's all there is to do. And that's like an unending thing to do. Yeah. And that used to really, I mean, and if that triggers anyone, like, I used to hate that. Like, I really hated change. And why can't things just be the same? And I've done this work. Why am I not just happy and joyful? Why is my attained level of peace? Why doesn't it stay here? Why is there more? Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah. And that striving, the happy, you know, like, why can't it be happy? Why do I have this challenge? Well, we have the experiences because that's the pathway of life. That's the pathway of growth. We have the experiences. We're a little backwards because we usually have the experience to learn the lesson, where we always wish we had the lesson before the experience.
Yeah. I do a lot of energy work and spirituality work, and a message that has come through over and over for over a decade for myself and clients is that, like, science tells us that our universe is expanding and expanding faster and faster. And we are all literally the fuel that makes that happen. It's our soul's expansion, our willingness to change, learn, grow. And, you know, I'm glad you're not done yet, because as long as we're here, as long as we're still taking a breath, there's more that we get to do. It's not, oh, you have to do this, and it's not a penance. It's like, no, this is, when we can embrace it, this is the thrill of being alive, that there is more.
Yes, there's always more. I mean, if we can take the next breath, there's more, because we never know when the last one is coming, right? We never know. My brother is 86, and he's on his decline, and he's been my sort of guide on the spiritual pathway in a lot of ways. I have my own, but he turned me on to a lot of things. And, you know, now he's at a time, like I have a book I want to share with him, and he just does not have the capacity to hear it, you know. And I really got yesterday that my reading this book is continuing his pathway, like the path he set me on and that we've been on together. So yeah, there's all there is to grow and learn and, you know, have the next experience and learn from it, and then take the next step and the next breath and learn from that.
Yeah, cool. Now you mentioned quickly an introduction about the surround, the yes, three core concepts of it. So could you reiterate those again?
Sure. They're connection, trust, and listening. So connection is being together on a consistent basis. We meet weekly, and I find that really works to support each other and get to know the men pretty well. The trust is, develops over some time, but I have found is so present in the group that when new men come in there, like swept right into it and get the level of confidentiality that we adhere to, and that men care and won't go out and tell the world about them. And the listening is really where it started, when a man came and spilled his guts to us. He had never been in a men's group, he knew some of the people, didn't know some of them, and just spilled his guts. And I realized that there was a listening that I was providing and that the other men were like magically providing, because we had never talked about this back at the beginning. And that allowed men to get that deep that quickly. And so the listening, Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a Buddhist monk and leader of a community, calls it deep compassionate listening, where you listen to let the other get the pain out of their heart.
Right. So our active listening gives the gift of being heard and releasing things to the other person.
Yes. And just right, getting the pain out, letting them be free and clear for their path.
Do humans need connection?
We're already connected. We sometimes act as if we're not. That's it. We're interconnected. I have a Buddhist background, and you know, there's a lot of it in there. And you know, we're connected to, as the Buddhists would say, the rocks, the trees, the grass, and most importantly, each other. And it's really one energy that we're all representing or living out. Mm-hmm. And I happen to do it in my body, and you happen to do it in your body. And then there's people who would argue that we're not even doing it in the body, so we'll just leave it there. Okay. But we are, there is this energetic connection. And I think the more we discover that and live from there, the better everybody will be.
Right. So since we all are energy, it's not even connect. I was going to ask, does connecting to the humans, do we also need to connect to spirit, open our spiritual selves? But yeah, it's all the same thing, really.
It really is the same thing. And, you know, I believe that I have a God in my life. I have no idea if it's a God you believe in, if you believe in God, or the next person. It's not a religious icon or God. It's my experience that I choose to call God. And we each need to explore that for ourselves. That's, if there's a fourth foundational concept in the surround, and this may even be the overriding one for all these years, is exploring. And, you know, like somebody comes up with something, it's let's explore that rather than, I'll say something in one of our meetings, and some of the stuff I say men think is pretty far out, or they argue with or whatever. And I go, just let it sit. Just see what happens in the next week if you explore it a little bit. And when I say explore, I don't mean like do some deep research. I mean, go out in life and just sort of have it in the background and see if it makes any difference in your life and opens anything up. So.
Yeah, I find a word that shows up in my life often that feels in synchronicity with this. It's about a willingness. Our willingness to be wrong, our willingness to find something new, our willingness to grow, our willingness to touch the aspect that scares us.
Yes. Well, that's the big thing, is to touch the aspect that scares us, you know, and let it out, and have a group of men, or at least one man, who you can say, hey, I'm scared of this. You know, I'm afraid this will occur. This happened to me last night. In a men's group I go to that I've been a member of for a long time. And, you know, I got that question in regards to a situation I'm in, like, what are you afraid of? And you don't get to go home and explore it. You get to do it right there with the six other men. And it was so valuable. Yeah. And painful at the same time.
I find so many men, we're driven by fear, and we have such a fear of anyone knowing that it's just this, right, this horrible loop of fear driving us, and we don't want to admit that, and we just stay in this trap of this low vibration, draining energy sort of experience.
Yep. And that's, you know, fear is like the basic emotion of men and the basic feeling, and it's where men drive their lives from. And, you know, I'm out to have men tell the truth about the fear and to tell the truth about their lives, and that's where the opening comes and the growth can come from. So
connection is inherently part of us. We're already connected. Why do so many men behave like we aren't?
Well, I've had this thought for a long time, that when men get to quote unquote middle age, 45-ish, that they have historically have the career, the family, and the house. You know, so in a way they have what they have strived for most of their lives. And they think they have to hold that all together, and they think they have to do that on their own. And the thinking doesn't come because they think it, it's because they've been indoctrinated into it. You know, we tell young boys, you know, man up, you know, be a man. And, you know, the most terrible three words you can say to a boy is be a man, because there's no capacity for what that means. But we get these messages that we have to be the provider and supporter. And I agree, we need to provide and protect for our family, but we can't do that unless we get help from other men, unless we're willing to ask for the help, talk about it, express the fear of it all falling apart. Because pretty much every man has, when they put that package together, has the fear that it's all going to fall apart, right? You know, they're going to lose their job, or something will change, or whatever. And if they have some place to get that out, there's more, they can get a better perspective on it.
And as we've said,
way of being,
the change never stops. So if I've got to hold everything together because I don't want anything to change, like that's forever a losing battle.
It's totally losing. And that's where men lose their power, freedom, love, and peace, is because they think they have to hold it together. And those are the four things that I find men get from connecting with me and the men in the surround, is greater power, freedom, love, and peace in relationship. And we intentionally wrote it in the singular relationship, because I think it causes men to pause and wonder. And because it's not about the wife or the kids or you know, whatever the relational situation is in the family, it's with each man with himself as well. You know, so we have this you know, we talked a lot about connection and one energy, and we're all in the same energy and all that. And yet we live in this one, what we think is this one body, this one energy. And that's the most important relationship we have.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. And, you know, my growing up, I battled with depression and suicidal thoughts and made multiple attempts to end my life. And it was really all because I hated me. I did not have a good relationship with myself.
Yeah.
I was shut down from any sense of spirituality. I thought I was just this meat suit full of bad chemicals. And that's what, you know, doctors would tell me. And it just made no sense. It gave me no hope. I just wanted everything to stop.
Yeah.
But as I was willing to be wrong, as I was willing to see that there's more and explore, again, freedom, joy, all those great things you talk about, like, wow, it's real.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So is it society? Is it teachings? Like, why are men passing on to other men that they should not connect, that they should not take a risk, that they should not tell each other things?
I don't know why, Andy, because, you know, why questions are really hard to answer. Like, you know, first I want to acknowledge and express my gratitude that you got to hear and saw your way through all of those, as you might say, harder times in your life. So thank you for doing the work to get here.
Thank you.
And I've had my battles with depression over time and overeating. Mostly almost half of my life I was obese, and I took steps to overcome that and get alive. I don't know how the construct God made up that men should be this way and men should be fearful. It's just there and seems to be universal. Mm. You know, and men hide it in different ways, you know, with money or with their profession or, you know, nothing against policemen or police officers, but they put those badges and guns on and, you know, they may be the most fearful people of going. And they put the fixings on that make it, you know, like, you know, that protect them in more ways than we think. So I have a lot of compassion for them knowing that. So
you've talked about connection and change and fear. So if men are driven by a base fear, but we long for connection, do we naturally trust each other? Or is that something that has to be learned? Is that a skill we don't have innately?
I think we need to learn it. I think, you know, we don't, you know, we don't just walk up to a man and go, hey, let me tell you about my marriage, you know, like that. You don't know, right? It's not like every man is an opening for this. You know, if men only knew what it would mean to that man to say, yeah, just tell me, like, because we, you know, we also think that we have to know how to fix everything, right? Men are fixers. And we have to know how to fix everything. And guess what? I tell the men pretty much every week, we are not here to fix each other. There's no way we can fix each other. I'm not qualified to fix anybody. You're not qualified, period. We just cannot do it. There's a great little video called The Nail in Your Forehead. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but just Google it. It'll be the first hit on YouTube, and it's about a man and a woman and about fixing the woman. So it's for like 3 or 4 minutes. It's so insightful. But we're not here to fix. If we could be here to listen, then more men would get fixed.
And that should hit us as a relief. Oh, yes. I can just be here and listen and empty myself and let you empty yourself up, as opposed to thinking, I've got to fix Alan today. I'm talking to Alan. What am I going to do? Yeah. And, you know, and that's such this pressure.
Right. And it's not even, as you're saying it, I'm hearing like, well, I can't even fix Alan. You know, I can get the broken parts. I can, you know, start to explore that and see where I can get more freedom and power in it, you know, but the fix comes when I'm willing to give up my story and shift my thinking about it, my context, my way of being about it. So that's when the shift can occur. And that can occur when I talk to other men and I get, you know, and I have that opening to let it out and explore it more fully and see another possibility.
So you mentioned that your driving vision is to make the world a better place for all children, and you do that by focusing on the men that are here and now.
Yes.
Is there one biggest fear or concern you have about the world today?
There are so many. You know, I read about in Yemen, I think they said there's like 500,000 people are in danger of starving to death in Yemen in the next several months. You know, it's, you know, what just went on in Afghanistan and is continuing in Haiti. I mean, it's every place and all kinds of issues. You know, there's so much food in the world and enough to feed everybody, and yet there's hunger. So I don't have a focus. You know, what I want is the next man to be a better man. I want you out of doing this podcast, and I want the men who listen to it to just get, if there's like one letter that I spoke that made a difference, that would get them to think about something a little differently, then my job's accomplished. You know, I sort of have a low bar for accomplishment, but it's good for my ego, for one, which we do have to acknowledge and appease. There's no, you know, this commitment I have about having the world be a better place is driven by my ego, but it comes before my ego. Now, there's a phrase I go by, commitment before ego, which means keep with your commitment, but acknowledging that the ego is necessary for it to be driven and to fulfill a commitment. So,
you know, when I've never heard that phrase or said it, just I have a low bar of accomplishment, but that serves us, because I've met so many people that have this huge bar and they'll have such a big goal that it seems so far away, they can't figure it out, so they don't take action.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an idea of your low bar is really taking baby steps. It's doing the thing you can do. And you know, as Gandhi said, you know, if be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I work on that myself. And, you know, when men come to the meeting, then they report on something that, you know, happened in that week that, you know, gave them a new opening, more freedom and power, more love. Then, you know, that's a victory for me and all the men in the group. It's not a personal victory. It's actually a victory for all men and really the whole world. Because like I said, if that man gets a little bit better, then everybody is. The whole world is better.
So is that how you can still have hope? Like if you look at the big picture, yeah. Oh, there's so many problems. But if I look at that one person, that one man in front of me.
If I can do what I can do, then there's hope. You know, if I, you know, I find out about you, Andy, and I'm so happy you're doing what you do, even if we might be competitors in a way, right? You know, running men's groups. But, you know, I know we don't hold each other that way, but I'm so glad you're getting that out there, you know, that you're doing, and there's so many other men doing, you know, similar work, making connections and,
Yeah, and I wish I was driven out of business. Like, yeah. I wish there weren't millions of men in need of connection, trust, letting go of fear, realizing the whole mission behind Real Men Feel is reminding men that they're human beings.
Yes.
And we have all emotions, and emotions aren't a mistake. And you feeling fearful doesn't mean you're weak, right? Your vulnerability is a strength, and authenticity is a superpower that men aren't taking advantage of.
Right. None of it's a mistake. You know, the bad feeling, the good feeling, equal, they're not mistakes in either direction. You know, whatever happens, you know, there are opportunities to explore and to learn and to grow.
Cool. So no, the surround began in your backyard in a teepee in Massachusetts, but now yes. it's become virtual.
It's virtual, you know, forced by COVID. The men who meet in that original group, we did get together a few times, but there's some issues. So we're back on Zoom. And then I have another group, another night where we meet only on Zoom, where there's men in three continents now, which is fun to say. And you know, and we manage the time zones. And so, yeah, so it's open for men around the world. And, you know, it gets richer by the different cultural experiences also.
Yeah, cool. So Alan, what's the best way for people to reach you, learn what you're up to, discover the Surround?
The best thing, so there's a website, thesurround.org. And then people can reach me directly at alancantor@gmail.com. And I promise to get back and promptly and, you know, help them find the path. And I welcome men to come and, you know, talk to me for a while, come and check out the Surround for a couple of meetings before they make a commitment. I think I charge a fair fee. The Zoom is $47 a month, and we meet every week, so it's a pretty reasonable cost for the value. So
I appreciate. So I have gotten emails and seen the Surround message for years, and I finally reached out, and that's what I did. So I encourage encourage people to model, and I want to be open and authentic about what I'm doing. But I had to see your name for years and years before I said, I want to reach out and talk to Alan. But
great.
Yeah, burst through that fear, take that action, be the change you want to see. Because I'm really noticing lately my need for connection. And also the pandemic is piling up on me. Like, I lead a lot of men's groups. I facilitate lots of things, but I'm like, man, I need connect. I need to go hug. I was at the gym this weekend. I'm like, I just want to go up and start hugging people. I'm like, I am having withdrawals viciously. And that doesn't make me weak.
Right. And we who lead men in this way and lead these groups and have come up with our own philosophy and system, it's imperative on us to be getting what we need from other men outside of those groups, not just with those men. And, you know, one last thing I see, when new men come, I tell them this, that I see men as being whole and complete. You know, like, I get it. You had your time with depression and suicide. That, fine, you're whole and complete. And I would have seen you whole and complete back then. And I also know from myself and from being with so many men that each of us is facing at least one major challenge in life, usually more, but there's one. And I also know that inside of us, we each know what's broken. Hmm. And I give men the opportunity to really share what's broken when they're ready for it. I don't put them on a hot seat and say, you have to tell me. But when they're ready, and this environment of trust and listening, they can say, you know, this is really what's broken in me. Yeah. And it's when they tell that truth that their lives can open up and they can, you know, really start exploring and becoming more loving and more peaceful, have more connection, have greater power and freedom.
So. Beautiful. Yep. So I'm glad so much for your time, Alan. Thanks for sharing everything you're up to. Thanks for everyone for listening today. And let this all be a reminder that there really are infinite number of ways for men to connect, to grow, to get past the fear, to stop being our own worst enemies, because that's so often what we are.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Thanks, Andy. I appreciate the opportunity.
Beautiful. Wherever you are discovering Real Men Feel, please subscribe, share, comment, review, let another man know the value that you got from this podcast. You can reach out to me at realmenfeel@gmail.com. Always glad to hear from you. And again, it's not a competition. There are infinite ways for you to connect and get support and reach out to Alan. Check out the Surround. Check out other men's groups. Reach out to me. Book a clarity call. We'll have a one-hour conversation. Let's help you get out of your own way. You can visit theandygrant.com/talk for that. Until next time, be good to yourself.